Hello, everyone. This is Lester Wilson speaking, and I want to speak to you today on the little town of Bethlehem, to begin with. Of all these lovely carols we hear at this time of the year, I love that one about Bethlehem. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie, above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Where is he? The question is asked in Matthew 2:1-2, for we read these words. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. Notice those three words, Where is he? And then over in 1 John 1:45, we read an answer to that. We have found him. Where is he? We have found him. Now let us look at Bethlehem. What a town it was. It had a very inglorious reputation in the past. Death and mourning were there when Rachel, the wife of Jacob, died. And there was a lot of mourning going on, and that's where Rachel was buried, as you read in Genesis 35:19. And there was a great famine in Bethlehem. You read that in the book of Ruth. And in Judges 17, you'll find there was a lot of idolatry there. And that was an abomination in the sight of God. And also in Judges 19:21, a terrible case of immorality and strife is seen in Bethlehem. And in Bethlehem, Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, was almost exterminated by the other tribes. Only 600 were left out of the tribe of Benjamin. This happened at the little town of Bethlehem. And so it's quite a little town with a bad reputation. What a picture of this world. The things I've mentioned that were going on in Bethlehem are going on in this world today, and going on in your heart and my heart, unless we're saved by the grace of God. And God singled out this little town. This little town, Bethlehem, was selected by God for this great event, the birth of his son, as you find in verse 6. And now Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And so we see the little town of Bethlehem visited by God in the person of his son. He was born a Savior, according to Luke 2:11. He was every inch a Savior. It was natural for him to save. He was born a king, according to Matthew 2:2. He was every inch a king. Natural for him to reign. Born to save, lived to save, died to save. He'll come again to save all his beloved people out of this poor, wicked world. Yes, where is he? Today's at God's right hand. I wonder, friend, if you know that living Christ, that living Savior. Now let's get back to our story. You find these wise men, and they found him. He had been revealed to the toilers, first of all. The shepherds were the ones who saw him before even the wise men. And these shepherds, these toilers, representing the working class, there they were in the dark, full of fear, and all of a sudden they heard the gospel by angel. Glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Just think of those shepherds hearing the gospel from the angels. What happened? They were in the dark. They were full of fear. But the message from the angels brought light, for the glory of God shone round about them, and their fear was dispelled. So it is when Christ comes into a human heart. The heart is in a state of darkness and full of fear. But the message of the Christ child, the message of the gospel, brings light into the heart, and fear is dispelled. And also the shepherds rejoice. Yes, and so does everyone who receives the Savior and passes from death unto life. They rejoice. And these shepherds enjoy the rest. They obeyed, too, when they were told to go with that message. And they said one to another, "Come, let us go to Bethlehem and see this great thing that has come to pass." Yes, friend, they obeyed the message of the angels. I wonder if you'll obey the message of the gospel today. Not only did the shepherds find him, but the wise men found him. The position of the wise men, there's no real mention of their nationality or occupation. Tradition says that they came from Persia. They were philosophers, astrologers. That's why the word Magi is used. It's of Persian origin. They were men of rank, obtained courteous reception from King Herod, so they must have had some education, some position or station in life for Herod to give them the attention he did. They were men of wisdom, men of wealth. They were the thinkers, the intellectuals, the educated of that day, but they did not know the Christ like many today. Nevertheless, you see them searching for him. Here you have the action of the wise men. They were in the far country, and they came to the right place. They came to the city of Jerusalem first. As you have in verse 1 of chapter 2, it was the city of the great king. It was here where they got in touch with the scribes who informed them about this coming personality, and that he was to arise out of Judah, and that he was to be led to by a star. And there's where they picked up the star, and the star led them to Bethlehem. We understand that at that time the Gentile world was expecting the appearance of some great personage, and these wise men were Gentiles. They weren't Jews. The shepherds were Jews. And likely this is the motive of the wise men. They sought truth, and so they came from the east. And they came to Jerusalem, and there at Jerusalem, the star picked them up and led them to Bethlehem. It was quite a journey, yet these wise men, they were seeking for the truth of God. Notwithstanding the long journey, the distance, the expense, and the difficulty, they were seeking that one who was to come. They knew so little about him, yet they knew that someone was going to come, a great personage, and their hope was in him. The wise of every age must seek if they would find. I wonder, friend, if you are seeking right now, seeking like the shepherd, the working class, the toilers, or are you seeking like an intellectual, an educated person, seeking Christ? Wise men are in an attitude of worship, you'll find in this story. Yes, they were quite reverent. They didn't come to criticize or to argue, as intellectuals often do. No, they came in search of something for their souls. The wise men were satisfied. Why? They sought and they found a person led by the star, which is a picture of the Spirit, and by the Scriptures, as we noticed. They found a person, Christ the King. That's what the world needs today, and that's what you need, and that's what I need, and thank God I have. They saw a child, and that child was a king, a child mighty yet meek, lowly yet lofty. They followed the star. They found what the star led them to, and that was a person, and they worshiped him. They presented gold, silver, precious stones. What can you present to the Lord Jesus today? He wants you to present a repentant, empty, hungry heart, and he will save fill and satisfy your heart. You'll notice these wise men went back another way. They didn't return the same way. They returned another way. And when you come to Christ, your life in the future will be different. It'll be another way. You'll be going up instead of going down. It'll be the glory road, the road that leads to heaven and to home. I wonder if you will receive Christ right now. And like the second verse of that lovely carol, O little child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, O Lord, Emmanuel. This is Lester Wilson speaking. Now back to your announcer. This is Lester Wilson speaking, and I want to go back to those verses we read yesterday morning. We spoke on Matthew 2 and 2, where is he? And that was asked in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we mentioned the fact that the shepherds found him, and so did the wise men find him. But now we have one referred to over in the first chapter of the Gospel by John, and verse 45, and this is what we read. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. What a wonderful thing to be able to say, I have found him. I have found the Lord Jesus Christ. On this occasion, it was Nathanael who found the Lord Jesus. He was under the fig tree. And of course, here comes Philip, and he sees Nathanael, and he tells him, but the Lord Jesus, we have found him, the one Moses spake of, and the prophets also wrote about. And of course, here, poor Nathanael, he said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, he didn't think anything good could come out of that town. But something good did come out of that town. So here you see the sincerity of Nathanael. He was sincere. It says he was without guile, but that doesn't mean he was without guilt. He wasn't sinless. He was a very sincere man. And he showed that in the conversation that followed. You notice that he heard Philip make that remark. We have found him. And friend, that's what God wants. He wants your ear. He wants you to hear something. The shepherds heard the message of the angels concerning the coming of Christ. Now here's a message that God wants you to hear, too, about the Lord Jesus, his beloved Son. And Nathanael heard when Philip spake of Christ on this occasion. But then Nathanael questions. He says, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Friend, nothing good can come out of the human heart. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? But something good and clean must be put in you before anything good can come out of you. We are poor sinners, and our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the Bible asks the question, who can know it? The one under conviction of sin knows what a heart he has, and God knows what your heart is like, and no good can come out of it. The only good that can come out of a human heart is after Christ is received into that heart. And then after Christ comes in, some good can come out. And until Christ comes into your heart and you receive a new nature in Christ Jesus, nothing good can come out. Now that's what the Bible teaches. A lot of people are trying to get some good out of their heart. They cannot do it. Friend, God wants the Lord Jesus to be born into your heart just like he was born in the manger. And so here is Nathanael. He's questioning, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? There's one thing about Nathanael. He investigated. He's going to find out about what he has just heard from Philip, and I wish men and women today would investigate when they hear something. Investigate it. Go to your Bible and see whether it's in the book. I'm happy when men and women investigate what I say, or they come to the chapel to hear what I've got to preach. I'm happy when they investigate, because I try to give them nothing but the Word of God. And if you investigate, you'll find that out for yourself. You ought to hear enough over this program to see that we're fundamental and we preach the old-fashioned gospel. We preach the Word of God as it is, and we welcome investigation. You'll notice how Nathanael was amazed in verse 28. Nathanael saith unto him, to Christ, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. This is amazing. How could the Lord Jesus see Nathanael under the fig tree? If he had been only about 100 feet or 100 yards away, that could be possible. But there was a lot of buildings between the spot where Christ stood and where Nathanael was under the fig tree, and a lot of land was there, and a hill was there. It was humanly impossible for Christ to see Nathanael under the fig tree, physically. But Christ, being what he was, the Son of God, he saw Nathanael there. And this is what amazed Nathanael. Why, he said, how could you see me? He found out why the Lord Jesus saw him, because he was God manifest in the flesh. And that brought out something to Nathanael. And he confessed what he now believed in verse 29. Thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And that was something for a Jew to say. They're the very two things they denied and refused to believe, that Jesus was the Son of God and he was the true King of Israel. And so here's Nathanael. He believed it, he confessed it, and the result was he was saved. And he gets a little picture of the coming glories of Christ in the millennium in the next verse, or verse 51, and he said unto Nathanael, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And so Nathanael found the Lord Jesus Christ. This portion of Scripture in 1 John has been called the found chapter. Andrew found Christ. Then Andrew also found Peter, and Christ then finds Philip, and Philip, he found Nathanael. Here you have found mentioned four times. Friend, let me ask you a personal question right now. Have you found the Lord Jesus Christ? You're not happy, you're not saved, you're not going to heaven until you have found him. You know, there are five ways you could win a soul to Christ. Andrew was won to Christ by John's preaching. Peter was won to Christ by a personal testimony and that of his own brother. Philip was won to Christ by a direct call. How wonderful that was, a direct call. The Apostle Paul was also won to Christ by a direct call from heaven. No instrument was used. Also, we think of Simeon. He was spoken to directly by the Lord and the Spirit of God, no human instrument used there either. God does call us by his Spirit through the Word of God, and through circumstances he's calling sinners unto himself, and he wants you to find him. You know, Nathanael was won by a friend, and how wonderful. Just a word of a friend won Nathanael. It's nice when we speak a word for the Lord, isn't it? And of John, too, he was won by the very life of Christ, looking upon Jesus as he walked. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. Here you have a sermon in shoes. All must find Christ to be saved. Professor Sir J.Y. Simpson, Edinburgh, Scotland, discoverer of chloroform, and many other great finds in medical fields, was asked what was his greatest discovery. Well, he said, I'll tell you. My greatest discovery was when I found out I was lost. And then, following that, my next great discovery was, I discovered the Savior. I found the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, have you made the discovery? It's an important discovery that you're a lost, helpless sinner. But God so loved the world, He so loved you that He sent His beloved Son into this world, and He went to that cruel cross that you might find Him there as your personal Savior, as the one who bore your sins in His own body on the tree. He suffered, the just one for you, the unjust, that you might be brought to God. All your sins were laid upon Him. Jesus bore them on the tree, and God, who knew them, laid them on Him. Now believing, you may be free. Will you this morning find Christ? He's sitting at God's right hand in all His excellent glory with all the power necessary to save you, to keep you, and come for you and take you home to be forever with Himself. Will you be one who will find Christ this Christmas or this moment? It will be the happiest Christmas of your life.